Creator God never stops creating. From Genesis to Revelation, God is the great artist, speaking beautiful things into being and then taking those creations and saying, there is still more to come. I'm not finished yet. There is more to the story. This is one of my favorite things about God, probably second only to the reality that God is love. God makes everything new. God loves creating and recreating. Some of you know this, but right now there's a lot of new and interesting life going on at our household. Connor and I have recently become parents to baby chicks, and we have some pictures of them. We decided that having backyard chickens seemed like a really good idea for this next season of life, and their names are Angelica, Eliza, and Peggy, after the Schuyler sisters from the musical Hamilton. And these little fluff balls have brought a lot of joy and delight to us, as you can imagine. It's been fascinating, actually, to watch them grow so quickly and develop their own little personalities. For the first few days when we took them out of their tub that has their heat lamp in it, out onto the floor so we could interact with them a little bit, all they wanted was to keep warm. They tried to nestle themselves under our legs or find a crevice to squish themselves into. It was clear that keeping warm was their main goal, their main objective. But as the days have gone on and they've started to develop some of their adult feathers and their bodies have learned to regulate heat a little better, they've become much more confident and playful, and we've been able to see their very distinct personalities show up, and you can see that more in this second picture. We've learned that Peggy is usually the calmest, most easygoing of the bunch. She usually doesn't protest too much when we pick her up. And she also has some really surprising leadership skills. That's cool to see. Angelica is kind of sassy and bold. She's the one on the left on the second picture. She was the one we chose to introduce first to our dog, Lainey, since she seems pretty unfazed by most things. And Eliza is some sort of mix of the two. She's the biggest. She has kind of this gentle giant vibe going on that adds some gravitas to the group. And as you can tell, it's been just quite the journey. And we're learning more and more every day as we care for these silly little creatures and watch them grow. And they have been a powerful reminder to me of the creativity and the humor and the wonder of God that shows up in creation all over the place, especially in the creatures of the earth. The Psalms have a wide variety of images for God. God as king, God as shepherd, God as father, God as mother. Psalm 91 actually depicts God like a mother hen, covering her people with feathers, sheltering them under protective wings of love and refuge. And that image has definitely taken on a different meaning in the last few weeks for us. And in Psalm 139 that we just read, we hear of God's careful and intimate handiwork. We see God as the great knitter. And I love picturing God like that, like a loving grandmother, maybe sitting in a cushy armchair, dreaming up a masterpiece of just the right combination of colors and yarn and patterns, holding her beloved grandchild in her mind and imagining who that child will grow up to be, weaving powerful prayers into that pattern that comes straight from her heart of love and intimate knowledge of that child. Psalm 139 speaks to the mystery of how we are created, knit together in the secret place, how God's powerful artistry partners together with the strength and intricacy of a mother's womb to make a new creation, unique and beloved, formed in the image of God. And as we celebrate Kyle's confirmation today, we affirm that you, Kyle, are created in this way, unique and beloved, formed in the image of God. And we celebrate that the gifts that you offer to this body of Christ are vital, and we are better because you are part of our church family. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. And the person that you have grown to be among us is truly a gift. Kyle, your commitment to and love for this church body, never wanting to miss a Sunday, doing whatever you can to get here, preferably with plenty of time before the service so that you can sit in this space and greet the people who are trickling in, that sort of faithfulness is powerful. And it challenges all of us to think about how we might deepen our investment, how we might approach worship and life in the church with that kind of openness and eagerness. Kyle, you teach me, and you teach all of us, about what it looks like to love God and love the community that we find ourselves in. So thank you. And it's also true that in many ways, your journey is just beginning, Kyle. We hope that these years in confirmation will provide a firm foundation that you can build on going forward. God is not done with you, and God is not done with any of us. God is always creating something new, always waking us up to new truths about ourselves, and pushing us to become more and more the people that we are created to be. Like the master quilter, God sees the big picture of our lives and is weaving the threads and the layers together little by little as we grow. And this is true for all of our individual stories, for sure. But it's also true in the grand story of creation. In Revelation 21, the second to last chapter in the Bible, we're given this vision of the new Jerusalem, the holy city coming down out of heaven from God. The old and the new creations are joined together, and God himself dwells among the people. There is no more separation between us and God. There is no more death or grief or tears. And God makes the joyful declaration, "I am making everything new." There is deep longing in this image, and there is deep hope. In our staff meeting this week, we talked about the things that we long for God to make new, the parts of life that need the most healing. We named the longing for broken relationships to be made right, how the world is aching for reconciliation. We named our grief over the ways that abuse and misuse of power affects the most vulnerable among us. There is aching and longing in this image of God making everything new because it is not yet here in fullness. There is so much that is not yet made right. There is still so much to grieve. Every tear has not been wiped away. The mass shooting in Buffalo yesterday, all of the loss of the last few years, Lord have mercy. And yet there are ways that this new creation is already breaking in, and that is a reason for hope. It's the already and the not yet that Pastor Tim talked about last week, heaven bleeding backward toward us in the here and now. And I think it's so interesting in this vision that instead of us going up to heaven, the new creation comes down. Did you catch that? Instead of heaven waiting up for us in the clouds somewhere, God says, "I'm coming down to dwell among you." The phrase literally is God comes to pitch his tent among the people. And I think that is such a fun thing to picture. And from what we know of the book of Revelation, these images in John's vision are meant to point toward the future, but also to reveal the current state of things. It's both and. And it reminds me of Isaiah 43 when God says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And so the question for us becomes, how is God's new creation already here, already breaking in, and how can I be part of it? Where is God pitching his tent, and how can I join in? How can I widen the circle so that others can experience warmth and hope and true community? What is my unique role in all of this? And here's where I think these two passages, Psalm 139 and Revelation 21, collide. Because our role in God's kingdom has everything to do, the part we're called to play, with who we are and how we are made. God has created each one of us in unique ways. God has given us gifts and instilled passions in us, particular ways of being in the world that have the potential for really critical impact in the kingdom of God. Theologian Frederick Buechner says that our vocation or our calling is the place where our deep gladness, our deep joy, meets the deep need of the world. And I think that is so compelling for each one of us to consider. Where is that intersection where my deep joy meets the deep need of the world? So what are the things that make you come alive? The things that bring you deep joy? And how might that inform your call in the kingdom of God? And God's mission of making everything new. I recently learned about a Japanese art form called kintsugi. It's the art of repairing broken pottery by mending the pieces that are broken with a liquid mixed with powdered gold. I think we have a picture of it. Yeah. It treats brokenness and repair as part of the history of an object, rather than something to disguise or keep hidden. And I love this because it's the art of redemption, where the mended pottery that shows the gold in the cracks is even more beautiful than the original. And I believe this is what God wants to do with all of creation. Life in God's kingdom isn't about minimizing the painful parts, pretending they're not there, or that everything is fine when they're not. It's about being people who know how to pour gold into the cracks, how to use our unique, beautifully and wonderfully made selves in the work that God calls us to. And it all starts with knowing Christ in a real and intimate way. As we invest in the formation and growth of our kids and our youth, our deep desire is for each one of them to know God. Not just to know about God or to know about the Bible, but to have the broad story of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation sink deep into their bones, and for the person of Jesus Christ to become central in their lives. This is our hope for you, Kyle, and for each one of us on our journeys of faith. So as we close, I want to return to the words from the prayer of St. Patrick, and we'll sing these words in a few moments as well. This is our prayer, to walk in step with Christ as our closest friend, our most trusted friend, so that our lives reflect the beauty of God's kingdom breaking in. So may this be true for all of us. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. God of all creation, we thank you for being a God who is making everything new. Thank you for creating us so uniquely and wonderfully, for giving us gifts to offer in the work of redeeming all things. We thank you again for Kyle and his journey with you. We pray that his time in confirmation would bear much fruit in the years to come. Thank you for this community of faith and the ways that your Spirit is working to call us deeper and further in faithfulness to you. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us grace as we navigate all that is not right in our world, and as we experience a deep ache and longing for your coming. We pray that all that we do as a church would be a foretaste of new creation, that others would experience your love and your healing through us. And we thank you for the strong and unshakable hope that comes with life in you. And we offer to you all our love and praise today and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.